rise that's calling me to wake up to what I want to be. It's my time to claim my destiny. Hello, this is Chris Atwood with Enlightened Alliances, and welcome to Alliance Secrets. Alliances are probably the greatest way that you can leverage your business and personal success. In our experience, they provide the mechanism to be able to do almost anything. Somewhere in the world, there is a contact that can allow you to accomplish anything you choose to do. And we all know the idea of 6 degrees of freedom, that none of us is more than 6 steps away from anyone else in the world. Alliances provide a tool which is absolutely essential for any business owner, and the principles of creating enlightened alliances apply within business as well as within personal relationships. We are pleased in this program to be able to present to you, broken down step by step into hopefully easy to follow templates, exactly what you need to do, what anyone needs to do in order to be able to create successful alliances, and not simply successful alliances, but wonderfully fulfilling enlightened alliances. An enlightened alliance is a relationship in which both parties benefit, but not only do they benefit, but everyone who is affected and touched by that relationship also benefits. It's a relationship that is built on more than just business. It's built on a personal connection and a friendship, and we'll talk more about that as we go on. Janet and I have been fortunate in that the process of creating alliances is something that's been very natural for us for many years. And in creating this program, what we had to do is go back and break down exactly what we do, step by step, how we do it, and then share it with you. And that's what we hope that we have done in a clear and understandable way in these lessons. The calls that you're going to listen to, the recordings you're going to listen to, are based on a set of teleconference calls that we conducted some time ago. And while the quality of these calls, the quality of the recordings is not as good as we would have liked, we believe that the content is absolutely irreplaceable. We have taken the transcripts from these calls and edited them down, put them in a good order and structure in the physical manual that you have in the package that you received. And for those of you that are very linear and objective and where listening to these calls may not be the best way for you to learn, we hope that the manual will help you to really understand this material and go deeply into it. This knowledge that you're about to learn, we cannot begin to emphasize how important it is. It is the knowledge which has allowed us to create relationships with people like Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield, A Chicken Soup for the Soul, with number one New York Times bestselling author Barbara DeAngelis and T. Harv Eker and Wayne Dyer and Byron Katie and John Assaraf and Bill Harris of Centerpoint Research and Stephen M. R. Covey, who wrote The Speed of Trust, and Stuart Emery, the author of Success Built to Last, and John Gray and Rabbi Yehuda Berg of the Kabbalah Center, and many, many others. And the things that we teach you here are just exactly what we do and how we approach the creation of enlightened alliances. And there is one thing which you'll hear us say over and over again, and I'll say it here briefly. The key to creating an enlightened alliance is to focus on the critical needs of your partner. And there are times when you need to focus on your own needs, and that's in the pre-contact stage and when you're in stage three of structuring the deal, and we will get to those. But the primary key element of creating an enlightened alliance is focusing on the critical needs of your partner, and to do that you need to understand what those are, and we'll go through and talk with you about how you can discover that. So we're going to begin this first call as Janet is sharing with us some of the elements that make alliances so important.
You know, think really big and know that when you're gaining knowledge from Alliance Secrets that you'll use this in every single aspect of your life in some way, shape, or form. And I can't tell you, Chris, how important the knowledge that we've gained through these spirits of creating alliances has helped me in being able to do this new project. And everywhere I go, all over India, all over Nepal, people from, you know, all different walks of life up to me who have tried to get in the door. How did you do it?
Yeah.
So, well, and that's what they'll learn tonight.
And Jana, wouldn't you say that one of the things you're proving, I think, for all of our students on the phone is that creating alliances and is really the opportunity to open up any aspect of life, any aspect, any direction that you choose to take with your life. Isn't that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing is that you don't have to wonder or know where you're going to use this knowledge. You're just going to find that it's there when you need it.
Mm,
and that's
absolutely.
What's so great.
That is great. So with that, let's get started. First of all, I want to talk about why are joint ventures and alliances essential to your business success? There's some key points, and I just want to review them because alliances can make all the difference in your business. Janet and I think I've mentioned to you before, had the good fortune of partnering with Mark B. Johansson and Robert Allen and creating a business with no investment at all that brought in over $1 million in revenues in 1 year. One of the things that alliance relationship does is extend your reach. It allows you to attract more customers, to make more contacts. Mark and Bob are fond of saying that one key contact is all you need. And certainly, working with Mark Johansson and Robert Allen made a huge difference for Janet and I. Now, how did that relationship happen in the first place? It happened because of a friendship that Janet had cultured over a long period of time, and it started by Janet going to one of Mark's courses, one of his public programs. Janet, could you tell the story of just how that happened and how that developed into a partnership to create the Enlightened Millionaire Program?
Absolutely, Chris. What happened was I was in Iowa, and Mark Victor Hansen was doing a seminar. And my friend Marcy Shymoff, who's the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Woman Soul, called me and says, would you like to come with me? I'm going to go help Mark out at a seminar. And I said, absolutely. You know, number one, always say absolutely and go. Do it. Right? Because if I'd have said no, none of this would happen. So anyway, so we go to the seminar. We're helping Mark. In the middle of the seminar, and there's like 300 people there, there's a tornado warning, and all of the people are asked to go through a restaurant, a kitchen, and then go into a stairwell and just wait for the tornado to subside or, you know, hit us, whatever it was going to do. And so as that was happening, Mark, being the incredible connector and network that he is, went from one person to the other just to see how they were doing, as if we were all in a line waiting to have our personal moment with him. And when he got up to me, he said, so what is it that what is your dream? And I said, well, I want to be a great seminar leader. And that was my goal at the time. And he said, great, I'm going to send you some tickets to my next seminar as a guest. And I looked at him and I thought, oh, yeah, right. And I said, okay. And I just felt like a little sassy woman. And I said, so what's your dream? You know, and I was just playing with him. But I actually kind of wanted to know. Anyway, to cut to the chase, 2 months later, in the mail, I receive a ticket to Mark's seminar. I go. I end up hanging out with Mark, Jack, and another guy named Barney Zick. And at that time, I said to Mark, you know, Mark, I also teach meditation, and that might be something that you would enjoy learning. And Chris, this I think is what got this relationship to, it took it out of just being a, you know, one of Mark's many zillions of relationships, because what I did at that point, and this is really important for all of you to know, is to take that extra step. And I wasn't thinking about what I could get. I just thought, God, I love this guy. He's done so much for me, and he had. I thought, okay, I want to teach him how to meditate. So what I did, I kept on him because, of course, famous people don't have any time. So to find and to teach meditation, it took like a week for me to be with him. So I kept on him about this time and the importance of being able to take deep breaths. And eventually we set a date. I flew to California on my own money. I booked myself in a hotel on my own money. And then I taught Mark and one of his other people how to meditate. But what did I gain from that? And I never was thinking anything other than I just wanted to do this. There wasn't a thought about, oh, boy, I'm going to really have a great connection now. But what happened was I put myself in a whole other league with him, number one, right? I was no longer one of his students. I was now one of his, someone who offered something very important to him and created a real value there. And this is that way after, about years later, I thought about this. You know, number two, I created a personal relationship with Mark that has, you know, continued on. And from that time on, he always said, it was our joke, I really want you to work with me. I really want you to work with me. And then from there, you know, one day he called me up and said, I'd like you to partner with Robert Allen and I. And that was when I was managing the marketing division for the third largest book buyer in the United States. And Mark knew, you know, I had the skills to do what they needed. And, of course, I knew I didn't have all the skills because Chris is always the heavy skill person in our partnership. So I called Chris up, and that's how our partnership began. So, Chris, you might want to bring something more to this, but basically that was, you know, that was it. And for me, what I saw, and you know, at the time, I wasn't thinking I'm going to do a program called Alliance Secrets, but now looking back, you know, I see that one of the most important things was I created a personal relationship immediately with Mark.
Yeah.
And that's number one. Like, look and see, where are their needs and where can you fill them and really understand?
Well, and Janet, one of the things that I loved in your story, when you were outside in the tornado warning and Mark asked you what's your dream, I'll bet you were one of the only people, if not the only person, who asked him what his dream was. And
I didn't listen to what other people were saying, but probably so, because I'll tell you, I was shaking inside when I said that, because I felt, as I told you, I felt a little sassy, right?
Yeah. Well, and sometimes you need to be a little sassy, right? And yet, what I got from that, and what I want to make sure everyone who's listening to this call gets from this, is that Janet's focus went from herself to Mark. And this is one of the absolute keys, wouldn't you say, Jenny, of creating a successful alliance, is that your focus is on the other person. When you were thinking about teaching him meditation, your focus was on him and what his needs is and how you could support and help him, right?
Chris, I would say in everything I've ever done where there's been success, you know, when I was working for Books of Fun, and we're just going to throw this stuff out for you guys to understand, for you to have more knowledge. You know, it's not about our bravado, but I was the top marketer for this company for 5 years, and no one had ever done anything like that. Now, they're a huge corporation. They sold the Reader's Digest for $380 million. And why I was able to be their top person was because it wasn't that I was always thinking about it. It was just actually a natural thing. I love to connect with people, so I'd get on the phone to someone, and if they sounded like they have a cold, I'd say, hey, are you sick? I got an Ayurvedic doctor that just happens to, you know how to cure. And, you know, like immediately I'd go to something personal. So that for me was a real clue. And it takes a little bit of, you know, one, clarity. Number two, it also takes a lot of courage, because to stop a, you know, what we call professional phone conversation and go right to someone's personal life, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, I'll tell you, I kind of inside go, okay, I hope I'm not getting too personal with this person, but always it works, Chris.
Well, and I think, Jenny, the reason that it works is because everyone in the world, no matter what their position, no matter what they're doing, the thing that is most important to them, the thing that's most critical to them, are oftentimes the things that they don't share with most people, and yet they're the things that matter most to them. You know, their family or their health or you know, whether their boss yelled at them today or whatever it may be. And I think one of the things that you've always inspired me with, Jenny, is that your ability to take that genuine, sincere, personal interest in others. And I know that that's one of the keys that you've had to the success you've had in creating these relationships.
All of you, you're not going to be thinking, thank you, Chris, you're not going to be thinking, okay, boy, where can I get mine in? But can I tell a real quick story?
Yeah, please.
Okay, I was on the phone not too long ago to the woman who was doing all the publicity for What the Bleep, all the Bleep conferences, and she was sick. She was sick. I could feel it. I could hear it on her voice. I said, are you sick? She says, yeah, I'm so sick. I said, God, I've got this great doctor. Let me connect you. All right, so I connect her. I go to the conference. Did I have a front row seat? Absolutely. Now, was I thinking I'm going to get a front row seat? No, but what did that front row seat do? I'll tell you, William Shatner was in the front row. All of these hoosies were in the front row, and it gave me the ability to continue to connect on that scale that all of us wanted to get in there, because it's hard. All these people, as you'll hear over and over again, don't have any time, so you have to create that magic.
Yeah.
And that's magic.
And it's the whole basis of it is giving, and the giving has to be based upon what is the other person's need. And Janet was sharp enough to notice that this woman was sick. She could have just ignored it and talked to her about whatever she was calling her about, but Janet's natural inclination is to say, gosh, it sounds like you're sick. Are you doing okay? And to ask her about it, and then to offer a solution if she has one. If you don't have a solution, then there's nothing to offer. But when you have one, then what a great thing to be able to give to someone. So I want to just take a minute and give you some of the points here that really the kinds of things that alliances do. They extend your reach. We've talked about that. They shorten the amount of time it takes you to get to your market, to get out. When we partnered with Mark Johansson and Robert Allen, they already had products, ideas. They had a structure. We just plugged in and started implementing. List Crusade, which many of you know or have heard Thelman Knudsen speak. List Crusade initially just sold other people's products. They completely got started on the basis of creating alliances. Alliances also help you get started with low or no cost. Janet and I started our partnership with Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen on the basis of Nothing Down. Robert Allen wrote the number one New York Times bestseller, Nothing Down. Well, that's how our relationship started. There was nothing down, no money invested, and we had to go out and go to our local newspaper and get an ad in the paper for a meeting, and we knew that they didn't need to be paid for the ad until a week or two later, and although we knew we could pay for the ad, and in terms of integrity, I think we would never do something without knowing that we could follow through on it. And yet it was a challenge for us to see, can we do this whole thing without putting any money down? So we did it. We got 65 people to the first meeting, and we did our presentation. It felt really good. We had Mark Victor Hansen call in and did a little piece with it. And at the end of the night, one person signed up for $1,000. Well, that was enough to pay our ads, but one out of 65 was a little disappointing. Wasn't it, Janet?
Oh, yeah. How about we bombed? We thought we were getting the water right out of
it. Yeah. We went, oh, dear, this is not good. But one of the other things that Alliances does is it gives you access to skills and knowledge you wouldn't otherwise have. And so we were fortunate. We got on the phone with Bob Allen. He spent an hour with us, and he coached us on how to restructure our presentation so that we would get more people involved. And one of the great things he said that I know Janet and I will always remember is he said, when you're getting up in front of people, just remember, the people come into the room and they are wherever they're at. Some people are just there to get some information. Some people are ripe and ready to go to a whole other level in their life. And wherever they are, your job is to just give them what they need. And he said, when I'm in front of a room, I'm not thinking how many can I close, as in close the sale, right? I'm not thinking how many people I can close in the room. I'm thinking how many people can I open in the room. And I will always remember that, and I loved it. And we, in our second meeting, we had, I think, 45 people, and out of those 15 of them, ended up enrolling in the program, and that $50,000 was our seed capital for getting that program going, which ended up over the next year bringing in over $1 million. So the other things that Janet's talked about, some of the things, the other things that Alliance do is they allow you to create friendships that you can call on for advice and suggestions. They may give you access to even seminars and workshops that you are able to attend as a guest of your Alliance partner and be able to expand your knowledge base. And they allow you to create personal relationships with people who have shared values, who are supportive, and who reinforce abundance thinking. That means win-win relationships. And I know that for Janet and I, we're always very careful about who we create alliances with, because if there's not a good fit, it's not in their interest or our interest. And when there is a good fit, then there's a foundation that goes way beyond the business relationship. So let's now go through what is the step-by-step process of creating a successful alliance. This is one question that I've been asked over and over by people who've sent us questions, and we'll just go through the steps. The first one, absolutely fundamental foundation of creating alliance relationship ever, is to know yourself. Understand yourself. And in a business context, that means understanding what you bring to the table. But even before that, it means getting clear on what your passions are. What are the things that drive you? What's most important to you? Because that's where your success lies. Janet's written a whole book called The Passion Test, Discovering Your Personal Secrets to Living a Life on Fire. And in one of your first emails in the e-course for this program, you'll be sent to a link to download that book, and I recommend you read it and go through the passion test. Identify your passions, and then what's your vision? What's your mission? You need to understand what are your talents? What are the things that you're naturally good at? And then what are the skills that you have? What are the things that you've been trained or that your education has allowed you to gain expertise in? What are the resources, the assets, the things that you bring to the table, whether it's money or contacts or an email list or buildings or equipment or whatever it may be? You need to be clear on what it is that you bring to the table. What do you have to offer? Why would someone want to do business with you? Why would someone want to have a relationship with you? And part of that is, what is your credibility? What are your achievements? What are the successes that you've had? What are the things that indicate that you have some skill, some knowledge, something to give in some area that will be important to your alliance partner? Once you understand, yeah, Janet, go ahead.
Can I drop in on something there?
Yeah.
You know, for me, that was a hard lesson, because I always just want to get on the phone, you know, and do the thing you fear the most, and the death of it will be certain. And yet, the importance of what Chris is saying right now is so that when you get on the phone, because these guys have like 1 minute, right? 30 seconds. You have that much time, and everything's energetic. If you know what you've got to give, and you really know what you've got to offer, and you know, you wouldn't be on that phone unless it wasn't important to you. So there's a lot of energy on this call for you, a big charge. And if you're not real solid in who you are and what you have to offer, these people have, by Chris and I partnering with Mark and Bob and hanging out with Jack Canfield and Harv Eker, you know, and many others, what we've seen is that they get approached one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And for them, it's just like dominoes, like bing, 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 you know, get out of my way, get out of my way, because they don't have the time. So you've got to have that extra something that they're looking for. And if you don't know what it is, guess what? You're going to fall flat on your face. And I can't tell you how many times I had to learn that lesson, Chris.
Yeah.
How many times did I get on the phone before I really knew what it was that I had and really felt it within myself? Because any weakness, okay, any weakness, they can sniff it out in 2 seconds, and they don't want to deal with weak people.
Right.
They don't have the time. They want to deal with powerhouses. Their connecting abilities are on this real powerful level. They've already dealt with people who, you know, couldn't really follow through. and they can sniff it out. They're experts at that. That's why they're where they are. So that's why, for me, you know, this point is so completely important. So, you know, really understand that this is for you before you get on that phone. You absolutely know everything you're bringing to the table and know it inside.
Yeah.
Even if you have to go to the mirror and go, you know, I know who I am. Or if you have to go to your best friend and say, hey, tell me what all my, like with Christmas, hey, tell me what you love about me. what's great about me? Really, I'm very sincere. Write yourself a letter. What's great about me? Just anything that you can do. You know, what do I bring? What are my skills? What am I excellent at?
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you for that, Janet. So having done that, then the next step is getting clear on what are the objectives that you are looking to obtain by creating the alliance. Janet and I always like to think of this in terms of what's your intention? What is your intended outcome? What is it that you're choosing to create when you create this alliance relationship? You have to be clear on what it is that your ultimate goal or your ultimate result is going to be. And then once you're clear on that, you can forget it up to the point that you're ready to structure the deal, frankly. And you'll hear us say over and over again is that when you're making your approach, your focus has to be 100% on the needs of the other. You don't need to think about what your objective is, except that it will come up naturally as you are going through the process when you're clear. Janet, in her book, The Passion Test, has this beautiful statement that she says, when you're clear, what you want will show up in your life and only to the extent you're clear. And so clarifying...
How many times did we make calls where we forgot to set an intention? And
yeah.
How many times afterwards did we go, whoa, we totally blew that?
Yeah, and I don't think that happens very much anymore, though, huh?
Never. Are you kidding me? Never. Absolutely.
We learned our lesson, yeah. That's right. So when you're getting on the call, when you're getting about to go and meet someone, set your intention. Be clear on what your intended outcome is from that call. And it doesn't have to be just the business outcome. Lots of times Janet and I will set an intention. If we're meeting someone for the first time, then our intention is to have just a wonderful, great connection. And that they feel excited and we feel excited just that we got to spend that time together. Sometimes that's our intention because it all begins on that feeling level. Any alliance begins on the level of feeling. And when there's a great feeling, then that provides the foundation for taking something to another level in terms of the business. So be clear on your objectives, both in terms of what the relationship is like and in terms of what are the things that you want to come out of that meeting. What do you want to come out of that call? Maybe it's just that they say, yes, I want to hear more. That may be enough of your intention, you know. Once you're clear on your objectives, on your intentions, then create your strategic attraction plan. And this is a process that we were introduced to by our friends Jan Brunier and Stacey Hall, now Jan Brunier Stringer and Stacey Hall, who wrote the book Attracting Perfect Customers. It's a very powerful process, and we use it on a regular basis. The whole
can I throw in, Chris?
Yeah.
About this?
Uh-huh.
This process is so powerful that when Chris and I became partners with Marcia Johansson and Robert Allen, We thought at our first meeting, we flew to California from the Midwest to meet with them. We were going to talk about our financial of the company and structure these, you know, very important aspects. And we had all these written questions and everything. And we walk in the door, and there's these two women in the hall. And we're like, what are they doing here? And Mark and Bob felt that attracting your perfect customer was the number one most important question that we answered before we even got started in the next step. And so they had flown Jan Brunier and Stacey Hall to that first meeting to sit with all of us to create our strategic attraction plan. That's why this is so, so important. And it did, I'll tell you, for our first meeting that we had with all of the people that joined the Enlightened Millionaire Program, which was the program that we structured together, they were everything that we had written, the kind of people that we had wanted to be with. And to me, it was just like a miracle. I went, oh, my God, that's when I started to realize that what you put your attention on grows stronger in your life, so be sure you're clear on what you want to have show up and who you want to have show up, because they will.
Yeah.
So if you're not clear, what do you get? You get lack of clarity, and you get people who you don't really want to play with that walk in the door.
Right.
And then you get to spend a lot of time with, you know, trying to work out kinks and bugs and problems. And none of us anymore have that kind of time.
That's for sure. Well, and you bring up a great point, Janet, which is we, all of us, I think, generally think of alliances as creating relationships with other businesses, and that's certainly where we apply all these principles and create alliances that allow us to leverage what we're doing in major ways. It's very useful if you have a business, if you have clients and customers, to apply these same principles in creating relationships with your clients and customers. To the extent that you can do that and do it effectively, you will find that your business brings you nothing but joy, nothing but delight, and you'll often find that it's your customers and clients that provide you with the steps of progress that otherwise wouldn't have been available to you, whether it's through their connections, through their recommendations and referrals, through ideas that they have, through their feedback about what you're offering, through any number of things. But when you create real alliance relationships, friendships with the people that you're serving, that you're working with, it is a whole different ballgame, a whole different way of doing business and living life.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
What I'd like to add, Chris, is that, you know, I belong to this group with Jack Canfield and John Gray, and there's about 30 top speakers and authors and marketers from around the U.S. that belong to this group. And, you know, they all do alliances with each other. And why? Because they've come to the point that they don't have time anymore not to do anything that isn't fun. Because they're constantly, you know, in that field, right? So now all the alliances that they're creating are with people that they want to play with all the time. And that's a criteria. So when you're clear on who you want to play with, guess what? They show up. And then that's when work, as you said, Chris, really becomes play.
Right. Exactly. Good, good, good. Thank you. So having created your strategic attraction plan, there are four points to this, and in the emails you'll be receiving from me, there's some detail about doing this. But it begins with getting clear on the qualities of your perfect alliance partner. What are the characteristics or qualities of that partner? And when you're thinking about this, those of you that have sent your plans to me so far, one of the things I noticed is sometimes you're a bit vague. And remember, when you're vague, you'll get vague results. The clearer you are, the clearer the results you'll get. So when you're thinking about who are your perfect alliance partners, think about what sort of needs your alliance partners have. What are the things that they are looking for, that they are trying to solve in their business or their life, that are perfectly aligned with what you have to provide? Because remember, your perfect alliance partner is going to be someone who their strategic critical issue is the thing that you are perfectly and ideally suited to solve. And for that reason, when you create your attraction plan, then be thinking about what are the things that they're facing? What are the challenges that your perfect alliance partner is trying to resolve? What are they dealing with? And then in addition to that, do the things that some of you have done, which is talk about their personal qualities and their integrity. And all those things are really good. But as you're creating this list, be sure that you think about where they are in their life. What is the timing? The thing should be that the timing is perfect for them. That this is, right now is the time that they need what you have to offer. The second part of your attraction plan is what is it that makes your perfect alliance partner tick? That means what is the reason that they get up in the morning? Why are they doing what they're doing? What is their purpose? And the clue to this is that your perfect alliance partner is going to state their purpose very closely or in a way that's very complementary or very similar to your own purpose, to what it is that makes you tick. What makes you tick, when you're aligned with someone that they're coming from that same place, you're going to find that that's the kind of partner that you just love working with, love spending time with. Whereas your list of qualities and characteristics may be a long list, your number two, what makes them tick, should be just one sentence or just one phrase. Just briefly, what is that core value that is the reason they do what they do? The third point is, what do you want your perfect partner to expect of you? And this is so critical. Remember, I'm not saying here, what is your partner expect of you? I'm saying, what do you want them to expect of you? And this comes back to you knowing who you are. How do you work? How are you comfortable in working? How do you enjoy doing the things that you do? How are you going to deliver your services in a way that's fun for you and also provides incredible value for your perfect partner? Think about this. For some of you, you are just really good at follow-through. You're really good at making sure that when someone sends you an email, you get right back to them. When they call you, you're back responding to them immediately. You're on top of it. They see you as just being very organized and very efficient and very together. That, and your perfect alliance partner is going to value those qualities. They're going to just absolutely rejoice at the fact that that's the way you are. Now, some of you, others of you, are going to be the kind of people that you flow with what's going on. And you may not get back to someone right away, or you may have so many things going on that it may be a day or two before they get an email from you or before they get a phone call from you, and yet your perfect alliance partner is going to be absolutely happy with that because they are so happy to hear from you, and they know that when you respond to them, it's absolutely the perfect timing. So each of us...
Can I give some examples?
Yeah, sure. I'd love that.
On this one, Chris, because this is really important. You know, when I wrote this third section, I so set myself up for everyone to think I was perfect. And, you know, that's hard to live up to, right? Because I'm not. None of us are. There are kinks and different aspects to us. I mean, we're perfect in our imperfection. You know, this thing about, I wrote down that I get right back to my customers. And then Jan Brunier said, well, do you? And I thought, no, God, I don't. No, sometimes it takes weeks. Now I write, I get my perfect customer expects me to get back to them in my perfect timing. In my perfect timing. Now, that's so profound because then you're going to attract people to you that when you call them, they're going to go, oh, hi, I'm so glad you called. I haven't heard from you in weeks. But they're going to be okay with it.
Right.
You see the difference. You know, the other thing was my perfect customer loves that I travel all over the world. You know, I don't have clients that go, oh, my God, she's sending me again. I have people that are emailing me saying, how's the trip?
Right.
Right, there's the difference. So who are you? You know, the other thing that was a personality aspect to me, my perfect customer loves that I'm highly intense and truly, you know, ecstatic about things that I'm into. So that when I get on the phone and there's that heavy intensity that I have with me, because when I'm into something, it's all of my energy, they're into it too. So I don't set myself up in any way. Who am I? You got to ask, who are you? Who are you? And so your perfect customer loves who you are. So if you have any little quirks about you, think about things that some people have complained about you that are true, and then turn it around to make it that perfect customer loves that aspect of you. Because you know what? Here's the bottom line. You're not going to change. You can't change. So that's why you want to put this part about being who you are. You be you. And you know, there's enough people in the world that will be attracted to who you are. It's just that you have to be clear on who you are so that you can draw them to you. We create from within ourselves. That's what this whole strategic attraction plan is all about, knowing from within who you are so you can draw those people to you.
And part of this is what Janet was talking about earlier, which is being clear on what you bring to the table, which means appreciating yourself. When you can appreciate yourself, others will have the ability to appreciate you as well. What is it about you that you bring to the table? What is it about you that you give to partners that they will love? And it's wonderful, this thing that Janet's providing, which is that your perfect partners will love the things that are generally accepted as being fabulous, as well as the things that it maybe is generally accepted as being offbeat somehow. And that's okay, because it's your perfect partner. Think about step number four, is think about what are those things that you can do or plan to do or will do that will make you more attractive, that will allow you to become more fully yourself, that will allow you to form more fully express who you truly are. And in many cases, this may be just refining, developing, or expanding in areas that you've listed in step number three. But step number four is really about how do you express yourself completely, being fully, authentically you in a way that will be more and more attractive to your perfect partner. Was there anything else you wanted to say about this, Jenny, before I go on?
No, I just think it's, I just can't put enough importance on this whole process for each one of you and every single thing that you know that can connect you with you. Because that's the whole point, connect you with you. Because once you're you, then people, you know, the more that you're connected to who you are, the real you, and that's hard for some people, you know, the real you. When I said intense, you know, a lot of people think intense is not good. But am I? Yes. So, you know, what's the value of intense? Well, God, you know, I get on the phone there, I make things happen.
Right.
So there's a great thing about it. So I just want to connect with people who are connected with the fact that that's a real wonderful, wonderful trait to have. So I'm bringing people to me that love intensity.
Yes. Great. Thank you for that. So you've understood yourself, what it is you bring to the table. You've clarified your objectives for the alliance. You've created your strategic attraction plan. Now it's time to identify your potential partners. Now, in many cases, you may find your partners start showing up. That when you create an attraction plan, you do, in fact, start attracting those sorts of people to you. And we also go by this old adage that if the mountain doesn't come to Muhammad, then Muhammad goes to the mountain, which means we don't wait for someone to show up. We make a list. We go through who are our potential partners and who are the people who might help us to connect with them. Who do we know that could help us make that contact, that relationship? The next piece is doing your background research. And in our email series, I'm going to give you some guidance on doing that, how you do that. But it comes down to, most importantly, determining your contact's critical needs, their critical issues, and how you can fulfill those needs. You can discover it by going to their website, by reading their articles, by talking to their associates and friends, by reading their books, attending their seminars. If they're a public company, then it's useful to look at their annual reports, and you can even attend their stockholder meetings if you're talking about a publicly traded corporation. But however you find it, your whole aim is to find out what's going on with that person right now, what's most critical to them at this point in time, and if that's aligned with who you are and what you have to offer, then that's when you're ready to go to the next step. And the next step is actually making contact. And there's four stages to this contact phase, so let me just go through those. The first stage is the stage that Janet is an absolute master at. And I call it acquiring interest. You may have only 30 seconds to a minute on the phone with someone, or even in person with someone, or you may just have an email. But you structure that 30 seconds or that 1 minute or that email in such a way that it taps right into that person's critical need, right into the issue that's most important to them. And you also, in that 30 seconds to 1 minute, you also say some things to establish your own credibility. Why should they listen to you? Why should they pay attention to you? Janet often, you've heard her do it already tonight. One of the ways that she establishes credibility is she just drops the names of people who are her friends, that she works with, that she spends time with, that she is close to. And those are famous and successful people, so it adds to her credibility. When I was working with this usability company that I've talked to you all about before, creating a relationship with Dell Computer and these other Fortune 500 companies, I essentially had a partnership or an alliance relationship with that usability company. And for years, they had been working with the top Fortune 500 companies in the country, in the world. And so I was able to use those names to establish my credibility. Sometimes you can establish your credibility by the relationship that you have, a partner that you have. Thelman Knudsen, when he created the List Crusade, he didn't have any relationships. He didn't have any contacts. But by connecting with us and creating an alliance with us, he suddenly got access to our whole world of relationships that otherwise would have been out of his reach. So there are many ways of establishing credibility. But, yeah, Janet, go ahead.
To add to that, you know, for what I'm doing right now in India, there were two really, really super famous teachers in India that I was able to get to say yes from the get-go. Now when I go to do another interview and set it up, and most of these people, and forgive me, I'm in a 5-star hotel, and I'm in Uttarkashi in the mountains of the Himalayas, and I'm sitting in the lobby, so if you hear a horn, it's like going up to the mountain for the next town to give them their morning food. Anyway, you know, just by using these two names, I'm able to get everybody else to say yes, because they were the two biggest names in all of India, two of the biggest names in India. And that's all I needed. And I started with one of the names, just one name, and boom, everything blew open just from that one name.
Well, and how did you get the first name? You know, that's the issue everyone wants to know, Janet, is how did you get that first name so you could use it for the rest?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that question. How I got that first name was I actually found a friend who knew a person who worked for the person that I was trying to get a hold of. So I had to network through a number of people.
Yeah.
And then what I did was I found out that one of their goals was, you know, I did my own research, was they wanted to get their knowledge out worldwide. Well, how can I help that? Well, let's see, I'm an owner of a magazine, I'm writing a book, and I'm making a film. Do you think that they were able to listen? And I walk in with this, like, little dinky camera, you know, and I've got a business card that looks like I'm Miss America, right? It says everything I do, and it's got my picture on it, and it establishes my credibility. So I walk in, and, you know, the door just starts to... sorry about that. The doors just start to fling open, but how I started at first was I was thinking... who do I know who knows who knows who knows?
Yeah.
And I had to go through a number of people in order to get to that one person that I got in. And
right.
Then when I got in, I asked around, what do they need? What is it that they're interested in? How can I help them? And that, you know, we could make that your mantra. Make that your mantra. How can I be of service to you? And if you... And truly, if you find that there's nothing that you can really do for them, then you exit and go to the next person. Because I'll tell you, in everything that Chris and I have done, it's next, next, next. And don't waste time with trying to force your way and trying to see, oh, maybe we can make that round peg fit into that, you know, square.
Right. That's a waste of time.
And it'll be a disaster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So this first stage of making contact is acquiring interest, and you need to be clear on what the person's needs are and then establish your credibility. Those are really, really key. Second stage is what I call discovery. This is the point the person has said, well, okay, I'd like to hear what you have to say. And for those of you that have heard me talk about Dell Computer before, you know that my first stage was leaving a voicemail message. Then I called back. I got a call back finally after my 7th call, and we set up an hour conference with the president of my company. Once we had done that, now we had the person in the place that they were ready. We could ask them questions. We could inquire. But in this phase, there are two key parts. One is really confirm that what you believe to be true about your partner's critical need really is their critical need. Get more information about it. Get a full picture of what it is that's really most important to them, and then give them immediate, tangible value so that at the end of this your time, that initial meeting with your partner, they're saying, how can I get more? How can we take this further? In the Dell example, you may recall that at the end of our hour, the man from Dell Computer said, how do you guys make money? How do we take this further? And then we offered to come down and spend 3 hours with them. So it's just step by step like that. But you have to, at each stage, give tangible value. Make it immediate. Make it something that they can see the value of immediately. In the Dell example, we went through their website. They were doing $1 million a day on their website. We went through it in detail and showed them exactly things that were problems or issues that existed within that website right there. And it's interesting. We didn't give them all the solutions. We gave them a few types of solutions, but we mainly pointed out what were the things that were really stopping people from being able to move forward. And they could see. We explained it. We educated them. They could see what the issues were. And with that, they said, how do we do more? So that's step number two. Stage number three is structuring the deal. So your partner said, how do we do more? How do we put this together? This part is really in the relationship between Janet and I. This is the part that I tend to focus on more. We go through reviewing the business terms in as much detail as possible, talking through everything that we can think about that is involved in creating this relationship. What are the responsibilities of each party? What are the deliverables? What are the things that are going to come out of this? What will constitute a successful relationship? What are the contributions that each party is going to make? And what are the financial, and sometimes we may even say, what are the non-financial compensations that each party is going to receive? How long are we going to work together? What is the term, at least the initial term of the project or the thing that we're working, that we're going to do together? And in this, if this is an initial relationship, the first time that you're working with someone, I highly recommend that you structure the initial project to be something relatively small, something where you and your partner can get to know each other, something that you can see how each of you responds to different situations so that you can have a clearer idea of whether this is someone you want to have a long-term alliance relationship with. And when you present it to your partner, what you really want to say is, let us have do this project so that we can show you how valuable we can be in helping you fulfill your critical need. And anyone who's successful and famous, they're going to really appreciate that. They're going to really value the fact that you're going to give them the opportunity to show what you can do before they have to commit themselves to hundreds of thousands of dollars or to make some huge contribution from their side. So this is stage number three.
Yes, about having 100% money back guarantee. It's that same psychology that you aren't going to. To these people that you're going to want to create alliances with, you know, for yourself, give yourself that breathing room that if it's not something that you find 3 months down the road, you don't have to stay married to it for a year later. So no, you're not just doing it for them, but you're also doing it for your own safety net. And Chris and I have structured relationships like that. And what that does is it takes away the fear, and almost all of our alliances work. I mean, absolutely. That's why we're known in this field, because we don't put a noose around our alliance partner's neck right from the very beginning, so that if something comes up right in the beginning that we're both, wiggling around, that we're not both going into immediate fear phase of, oh my God, you know, oh no, you know, we're with each other now for a whole year. We signed this heavy duty deal.
Right.
And that way it makes it more comfortable to stretch and grow and breathe with one another, because you haven't done that.
Right. So we just have 5 more minutes in this call, and in wrapping this up, let me just go through the fourth stage. The third stage, structuring the deal, you're talking through everything. The fourth stage, you're creating a written agreement. And Janet and I always create some sort of written agreement, even if it's just an email confirmation of what we've talked about with a partner. If it's a more involved relationship, then we'll have a formal letter agreement that spells out what's going to happen and how and who's responsible for what and so forth. And, in fact, in call number 5, we'll talk more about what things need to be part of a written agreement and how do you think about percentages and shares of revenues and things of that nature. But once you are at the point of creating the written agreement, if you've done all the stages up till then well, then this should just be a formality. It should be just a matter of writing all the stuff down, going over it, maybe refining a few points, signing off, and moving forward, taking action, getting the whole thing going. Now, in the couple of minutes that we have left, I want to focus on the title of this call, which was actually the three fatal errors of joint ventures that will destroy your business and how to easily avoid them. The number one error that more people make, I mean, I can't tell you how many people approach us, approach our partners, and they make this mistake. They focus on their own needs instead of on what the partner needs. And we've been underlining that throughout this call. I just hope you get it, that once you've clarified who you are, what you bring to the table, what your objectives are, you've created your attraction plan, now you can forget about your needs. Just focus on your partner's needs 100% and you will avoid this error. The only time that you need to think about your own needs is when you're at the point of structuring the deal. When you're structuring the deal, then you make sure that what you're receiving is equal, fair, and equivalent from your perspective to what your partner is receiving. But up till that point, you can forget about your needs. Focus on your partner's needs. The second error is people make assumptions. Maybe they've done some research, and they think that they know this, that, and the other thing about the partner, and they go in and they put a whole proposal down on, they say, well, we can do this, 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 and this for you. And that fails 90% of the time. If you want to have success in creating alliances, when you get to that second stage where the person has said, okay, I'm willing to listen, or I'd like to talk to you more, then at that point, go in and ask questions. Start by asking questions. If you believe you know some things, then ask some questions that will confirm that your understanding is correct. Make sure that you're online. Find out from them, what are the problems? What are the issues? What are the challenges that they've faced when they've created this kind of situation in the past? And then when you get to the point of outlining your proposal, make sure it addresses those points that they told you. So avoid making assumptions. Always confirm what you think you know. And the last thing really is probably the same in some ways as the first one, but the error people make is they don't have a clue about what's important to their partner, to their potential partner when they make the approach. They just don't have a clue. They think they know, but they don't really know. They are not sensitive to the fact that maybe the partner doesn't have much time. They're not sensitive to the fact that maybe the partner has a huge number of other issues going on right at the same time. Or they're not sensitive to the fact that something that was important to that partner 6 months ago is really not the critical thing right now. Whatever it may be, you have to have some idea of what really matters to your partner even before you go in and make the approach. So with that, Janet, yeah, do you have any last words before we close?
Well, I thought of a fourth one that I've seen that we've played with over the years.
Okay.
And that is, don't promise them the world.
Oh, yes.
And you, why don't you talk about that one? Because you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Don't promise them the world. Don't set yourself up that you're going to be able to fulfill every single problem and take care of everything that's going on. You know, I'll tell you, this has been something that we've learned, is that when we get on these initial calls, we make it sound like, and we did this in the very beginning. Do you remember, Chris?
Yeah.
Where we would say, you know, there was nothing that we weren't capable of doing. And again, it comes back to knowing who you are and what you're capable to bring to the table, what you're capable to bring to the table.
Right.
Because if you say you're going to be able to do everything and you can't fulfill those, it's going to show up. It's going to show up. So being really, really truthful about what it is that you're capable of doing and what it is that you're not. And that's okay to say too, because the people are always looking, they have this antenna of hearing when people are being really honest and truthful. And that's what we're all looking for in alliance partners, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that perfect partner who we know we can trust And that means trusting that they won't say that they can follow through on something and fulfill a need if they can't.
Right. No, it's a really, really good point, and it's something that, quite honestly, I still continue to work on an ongoing basis. And it's so tempting to want to say that you can do this, this, and this, and you can solve all the person's problems. And yet, how many of us have heard the statement, under promise and over-deliver, right? Under-promise and over-deliver. And because when you over-promise and under-deliver, then you're only going to end up with disappointment and your relationship is going to suffer. So thank you for this, Janet. For all of you, we'll be back with you with our next call in, actually, for those of you who are listening live, it'll just be in a few days, and we look forward to connecting with you then, the same time, same call-in number, same PIN number, and until then,
if there was anything that you still have questions on, is this okay if I say this, Chris?
Yes.
If any of you have any questions that you didn't feel were fulfilled, go ahead and email us, and we'll try to be able to get back to you. And now I'm not being very fair because Chris will. I won't.
And also, we're going to be going through over the next weeks probably every possible question that anyone has asked us. So if everything isn't completely clear yet, just give it a little bit of time. And for those of you who are listening to the recording now, there's a whole Q&A session that you'll be able to listen to, and I'm going to open it up right now and say goodnight to everyone. So thank you all for being here. This was our makeup call tonight, and we covered the same materials we did last Thursday, although I think you all will agree that it was great having Janet on the phone. Wouldn't you agree? Anyone there? So, Janet?
Chris?
I think we can say goodnight.
This reminds me of I wanted to close with my favorite quote. It's when two people come together to give maximum, both receive maximum.
Oh.
So it's wonderful to be with all of you this evening, this very early, early morning in Uttarkashi, India. Chris is in California, Mill Valley. I'm a little bit jealous on one level. And with my dog. And we hope you had a wonderful, wonderful time with us, as we always do with you. Have a great, great evening. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.